So, on a related topic, Governor Sean Parnell is supporting cutting taxes for oil companies to spur new development, and also some of your fellow representatives have introduced various bills changing how the oil and gas industries are taxed. What do you take on this matter?
Well, the governor's legislation is a little more surgical, I guess, if you will, in terms of reducing taxes, because it really revolves around promoting more development in existing fields. There are, however, a handful of legislators, and there's sort of a growing sense here in the Capitol and maybe throughout South Central, particularly the legislators, that that we ought not to just stand by and accept the fact that, that the higher taxes are providing incentives or are really providing the, let's see, how do I want to phrase this? The bill that was, the ACES package that was passed in 2008 did two things. One, it increased taxes on the oil company, but oil on the North Slope oil producers, but on a sliding scale, so that when oil prices went higher, there was a progressivity feature in there that allowed the state to reap more of the benefits, more of the economic value that that the oil companies were getting. When the prices go down, as they are today, at more around the $80 range versus the $150 it was in July of 2008, that the actual impact of the taxes are lesser on the oil companies. But there's also some tax credits to spur more exploration, more drilling, more work up on the North Slope. Let me just sort of wrap this up by saying two things. One, that there's a lot of noise down here about the oil companies being taxed too much, but do I expect to see substantive legislation overturn all of it, or, you know, that would legislation that would actually make it through this year that would sort of change the tax structure? No, I don't think that we're going to get that far. I think it's very realistic next session that that issue will come front and square before the legislature. The next session, I think, we may see going back to the 120-day session, which would give us more time to delve into an issue that is highly complex and very layered. So I don't think I did a very good job of responding to that, but you know, the short answer is it's a topic of discussion down here. I think it's going to be a driver in the politics of what transpires this session, but do we expect to see a bill that actually gets passed this year to reduce the taxes on the oil companies? I think it's highly unlikely.
And do you have an opinion yet on which way you would go on the issue?
No, I need to see more. I need to see. It's real interesting. Prior to the passage of this tax, we had what was essentially a gross tax on the oil industry, meaning that that we didn't tax them after profits, a net tax, which we now have in place. And the state didn't have a lot of information on sort of the capital expenditures, the operating expenses, a lot of about the business model or the cost structure up on the North Slope. And we now, just a short couple of years later, have been getting that information. So we're now on our Department of Revenue is in a much better position to have a sense of the impact of our taxes and how much money the oil companies are all making. And we just saw a couple of days ago, ConocoPhillips announced that that they made you know, that they had a pretty good year profit wise. It wasn't as good as last year. ExxonMobil had about half of their profits, but you know, and a time when oil consumption is down and oil companies really aren't doing well. You know, this, I think the sentiment still is here in Alaska. The oil companies are still doing quite well. But the lawmakers, understandably so, want to keep an eye on the situation. And, you know, I think it's the right thing to do. And I, along with 14 other House members, signed a letter, you know, saying that we need to, you know, take a look at the impact of our taxation policy.
Okay. We've just got another call in. And the question is, as our district representative, what can you do to increase jobs district-wide by making sure American labor is used by all trampers?
Well, a good question. And what I'd like to do, if I could, is I'd like to have the mayor chime in for a second. She's sitting here. She hasn't been able to talk, if that's okay with you.
Mm-hmm.
And Mayor Marquardt, did you want to say a few words before we jump to the question?
Thank you, Representative Edgeman. Just real briefly, the questions that you've been asking, Representative, are pretty good, and they are pretty complex issues here. Whenever I come to Juneau, I'm really amazed at, Mr. Edgeman said, the level of layers over everything that they're trying to do, whether it's an energy policy or whether it's exploration and the Chukchi or Beaufort, who's got a handle on that. And I'm really hopeful that going back to the energy policy, you asked, how people around the state personally would be affected. My hope is that the policy, energy policy, would make it easier for, like, the city of Unalaska to make positive changes to the way we provide power. And if we wanted to switch over to, say, natural gas with the new engines in the future, it would be extremely expensive, and that, it would be a huge cost we would have to pass on to the ratepayer. And so I would be hoping that the energy policy would have a funding mechanism for municipalities to be able to make those kinds of upgrades so that they can keep the cost to the consumer as low as possible. So I'm hopeful with that. You talked about the oil and gas exploration in the Chukchi and Beaufort, and it is my understanding that they definitely are going to be going up there this summer unless a court decides that they can't again, but that they really feel strongly in talking with them that they've done due diligence in collecting all of the information and going through the process in order to get the permit to be allowed to explore, which they've been given by MMS and also Secretary of the Interior. And it will definitely impact on Alaska. We've already heard of several vessels coming up, supply vessels that would stay home port basically in Unalaska and go back and forth between the Chukchi. So it'd be a lot of commerce, a lot going on in Unalaska. So I'm very hopeful that that occurs, and that also that Shell is good to their word and to their past history, and that they're able to do those explorations as they've said they can, which is in a very responsible, careful, and successful way.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. Mm-hmm. Representative, could you possibly answer the other question, though? What can you if Mayor Marquardt, you have a way to do this. The listener would like to know, as our district representative, what can you do to increase jobs district-wide by making sure American labor is used by all trampers?
Well, that's an interesting question, and I'm thinking real hard here to, I don't believe there's any legislative proposal that would do anything, if there was anything we could do at all. But I guess I would be really interested more specifically in hearing from the caller what he or she might have in mind, because that might be a better starting point for the discussion, and I would encourage them to give our office a call at 1-800-898 4451, and let's talk more about it, because at this point, I'm getting the sense that they might have a specific idea that, who knows, maybe we can pursue down here in Juneau.
All right. Well, hopefully that individual will call you. I actually have a couple questions that were emailed in earlier, pretty specific to Representative Edgeman. The first is, Representative Cherise Millett submitted House Joint Resolution Number 40 opposing Cook Inlet Beluga Habitat Plan. Do you support it? Why or why not?
Well, I haven't been able to take a look at it. It does go to the House Resources Committee, and I expect it will be up sometime soon here. And there seems to be a lot of support for it, the sense being that the National Marine Fisheries Service, which is in the process of taking public comments and establishing the critical habitat, that they've gone too far, too fast, and that there could be unintended consequences by putting into place a critical habitat that really sort of encompasses about two-thirds of the Cook Inlet. And so I haven't been able to look at it very closely, and I'm looking forward to the hearings in the Resources Committee. I think they're going to be good hearings.
Okay. Another question about a House bill. House Speaker Mike Chenault's bill, HB 312, is calling for a statewide advisory vote on using permanent fund earnings to build an in-state pipeline bringing North Slope natural gas to the rail belt at an estimated cost of $4 billion. What are your thoughts, and do you support it?
I think it's an excellent idea because having gotten fairly well versed on the energy issues statewide here in the last couple of years, you know, the first question when it comes to an alternative source of energy power, whether it be renewable or whether it be anything, is how are you going to pay for it? And we have a lot of opportunities here in Alaska to harness natural resources, natural energy sources. But in terms of the funding mechanisms, you look at the Renewable Energy Grant Fund, which the governor's proposing to fund at $25 million this year. You're looking at an Emerging Technology Fund or an Alternative Energy Source Fund that we have in our House Bill 306. But those are pretty small funding sources for projects that could, you know, bigger projects like the in-state gas pipeline or the Susitna or the Chalkachamna hydro projects, or the Mount Spur geothermal projects, projects that could cost the state in the billions of dollars. And I'll close by saying that I'm looking forward to the debate on the issue. I think it's an excellent question because it really does ask the voters, you know, is energy a big enough issue that you're willing to sacrifice some of the money with the permanent fund? And it may not, in all actuality, lessen the amount of the permanent fund because that's calculated in a five-year average, but it could mean that there's a lot of money taken out of the permanent fund earning reserve, which you know, could impact a few other things in the budget equation. So, again, sort of a long answer to a short question, but I definitely support looking into the idea.
Okay. And another listener wrote in a question. This is actually for Mayor Marquardt. And the question is, why are you currently in Juneau, and who is paying for your trip?
I am currently in Juneau for the Alaska Municipal League Legislative Conference here. They hold every year at the start of the legislative session, and folks from across the state as part of AML come, and we sit and we talk with our legislative lobbyist, and we come up with the priorities statewide that are important to municipalities of all sizes that we're hoping that the legislature will focus on, like revenue sharing, an energy plan, funding, sustainable funding for transportation projects. It's been a real issue for us in Alaska to try and get funding for some of the roads, particularly the Ballyhoo Road paving. We've had real difficulty working through the DOT system on the STIP, Statewide Transportation Improvement Plan, which we've been on for a couple of years and then fallen off of. And so it's a way for us to go up to the Hill kind of en masse, if you will, and put forward a really a strong, focused message to the legislators. It's also a good chance, took the first day, to come up here on the Hill and bring forward our requests for our capital projects this year to the legislator early on in the process, as everybody else in the state will be doing the same thing here for the next almost 90 days. So we want to make sure that we get our projects out there front and center and understood. And the city of Unalaska is paying for this trip, and it pays for it every year.
Okay.
This is a representative Edgman. I would jump in and say that, you know, I'm not taking sides on this point, but I would just say that the city of Unalaska and its delegation comes down every year. They do a great job of keeping the legislature informed of what's going on in the community. They do a great job of lobbying on behalf of the local needs. And, you know, there's 34 communities in my district, and the city of Unalaska is, without question, the hardest working, probably the most knowledgeable, and, you know, easily the most active on all issues, not just state, but federal as well. And so it makes my job, and I know Senator Hoffman is a voice this as well, it makes our jobs down here a lot easier when you have an active city delegation that does the homework, does all the work with the agencies, sets the stage for budget proposals and so forth, and really, you know, just makes it so much easier for us and the legislative end of things to move priorities forward.
And so the information they bring is beneficial for our community?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we've been able to take a delegation, a legislative delegation, down to Unalaska. I think it's every second year or so that a group of legislators come down. So it's really helped to put Unalaska on the map, being a dynamic community, an industrial hub for the Bering Sea fishing industry, $1 billion a year industry, a port that's, you know, by volume at the top of the country for the last, 20 years running or so forth. You know, an incredible community, but if we don't get legislators to go out there, or if we don't get the city delegation to come out, it's a message that really just sort of gets lost in everything else that's going on statewide. So I think the job has been well done, and it's a job that's never complete. You're always, working on capital budget priorities. You're always working on other issues, and, I just think that the city has done a great job. Great.
Well, excellent. And speaking of a job well done and complete, it's now 9:30, so we're going to call a close to Speak Up on Alaska. I'd like to thank you both very, very much for joining us. We have Representative Bryce Edgemond and Mayor Shirley Moorcourt, both in Juneau at the moment. And
thank you, Anne.
Thank you very much, Anne.
And Bryce, again, what's the best way for people to contact you if they have questions?
They can use our toll-free number at 1-800-898-4451. And certainly we have email addresses for all the staff and for myself if they would just want to Google my name, but to use a toll-free number. And let me just say really quickly here in closing, we have gotten word that that there are discussions underway of possibly maybe getting a legislative information office in Unalaska. And that's preliminary at this point, but the Legislative Council will be discussing this at their next meeting. And so we're really going to be pushing for that to happen. So there'll be a local office for people to get involved in legislative issues.
All right. Sounds like a great opportunity. Again, thank you both. And thank you to everyone who emailed questions in ahead of time and called in during the show. This is your chance to speak up and ask what you'd like. Join us again for the next edition of Speak Up on Alaska later this month. Thank you both and have a great morning.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.